Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a very, very unique individual, someone who has got huge amounts of accomplishments, not just in India, but all over the world, Mr. Anant Kasibhatla. Anant, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ashutosh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. Anant is a focus and memory coach. Interestingly, and obviously this runs in his genes, he's a second generation focus and memory expert. He's a LIMCA world record holder for memory for the last two decades. And as all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled How to Become a Top Student and Instant Memory Improvement. So Anant, what a fascinating career you have chosen to pursue. Let's talk about focus and memory. Sure. Tell me about the work you do.
Okay. So basically, I help people to stay focused and remember better. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, you can get double the result in half the time and half the effort. And I keep the word result open because, you know, I work with doctors, engineers, movie stars, celebrities. I mean, a lot of people I work with, and everybody has got a different result for them in mind. Mm-hmm. And how dare I keep the word result open, mm-hmm. is because there is one connecting thing which is connecting everybody. Uh-huh. And that's the mind.
Okay.
And whatever you do, it really doesn't matter. If you add one layer of focus, the result will be much better. And just to give a background, why I'm doing this is like, you know, the advantage which people have or what I contribute is, if you typically look at it, no offense to anybody, either in the house or on the dining table, people have never got any formal training on how to remember, how to learn, how to focus, nothing of that sort, how to read, okay. Nothing of that sort. Mm. So people, I'm not saying they don't do it. They do it and they do it very well, but they have to figure it out, or, you know, they have to struggle. The way is not shown neither in the school or in the house. And that's why people are, you know, they just try experimenting. And I can, is it okay to share a personal thing? It may sound like a joke. Yeah. But then I'll still tell it because it makes a lot of sense here. When I was about 24 years old, 23, 24 years old, I went to a doctor for dentist, you know, first time ever in my life. You know, Indians sometimes go to the dentist very late. You know? Yeah. So I come from the same thing. So I had a problem. Then I went to the dentist and he asked me, how do you brush your teeth, Anant? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm shocked. 24 years old. Why is he asking me? I said, doc, I'm 24. Okay. He said, you're 24, 64. Doesn't matter. How do you brush your teeth?
Okay.
So I said, okay, I brush like this. And then he said, stop. That's exactly how you're not supposed to brush, and you have to brush like that. First time in my life, somebody told me how to brush teeth. Mm. All my life, I have been asked questions like, did you brush your teeth before eating your breakfast? Yesterday before sleeping, did you brush your teeth? Yeah, I did. How? Mm. Nobody cared. Nobody asked. Nobody taught. So why I'm saying this is people, the same thing. People say, you read this. Did anyone taught anyone how to read? You remember this. You focus on this. The how to is typically missing. And I feel very good that I'm contributing that how to part. Yeah. This is what exactly I do.
Fascinating. So, you know, Anant, you are the LIMCA world record holder for memory for two decades. At my age, sometimes I don't even remember how long two decades is. But what was the process that they used to test you?
Okay, so it's a record event which has been done. So, you know, in LIMCA or Guinness, actually what you can actually do is you can say, okay, this is what I can do. I mean, this is an activity which I want to do. Will I qualify for a record? Mm-hmm. So they will check the records and say, okay, you can go ahead and do it. So for my record, what I did is, this is back in 1997, mm-hmm. long backstory, okay? 26 years almost now. So what I did is I went into an auditorium where they're all strangers. And I asked everybody, what's your name? Along with the telephone number, name and telephone number. And I came back on stage. And mind you, these people are not known to me. It's a public invitation. And there were a panel of IPS officers, a judge, and an IAS officer, and another police inspector. And there are a lot of people who were in the panel of judges who were sitting, an income tax commissioner. No? Everybody was there. And then I went back onto the stage and people changed their places. And then I asked, okay, anybody can raise their hand. So put up the hand. I say, okay, your name is Ashutosh and your number is da 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 da, whatever number. And I recalled everybody's telephone numbers and names. And if you ask the name, I've given the number. If they ask the number, I've given the name. And somebody just raised a hand. I say, you're Pankaj and your number is this. Wow. Until I got stuck at one point. And there's one guy who was asking, and you know, when I was asking the numbers and stuff, because those days there were no data banks. Casio 128 was just released in the market. 128 KB, you know, right. Very, I mean, that was not even released, I guess. This was like talked about. Okay. So there's one guy who was actually writing down all the things, and they got the cyclo style, like photocopy, and they circulated the numbers to everybody so that they can check and ask. Right. So there's one guy who says, okay, Anand, what is this? This telephone number belongs to whom? He was just reading out. And those days there were no standard 8-digit or 10-digit numbers. Mm-hmm. It was like random. It could be a 7-digit number. It could be a 13-digit number. Yeah. And some people gave a US number. So whatever numbers, right? And this one guy was actually saying, okay, what is this number? I said, are you sure that number? He says, yeah, I'm reading from here. So it's like taken aback, you know, that was my record-making event. And I'm, you know, I was thinking, oh my God, what is this? So I said, can you please repeat it? Then he read the number again, and he read it with such a confidence that he's actually seeing and reading the number. Mm. I said, are you sure this number is on the sheet? He said, I can give my life for that. It is there. Mm-hmm. I said, oh my God. So then I just hold for, I think 35, 40 seconds. I was thinking, what happened? And then I said, okay, this number is Prabhakar's telephone number in the reverse order.
Mm. Wow.
And they were, he was just having fun, you know, just reading out the reverse number. And he was just thinking, this guy, can he get it or not? So that was the record which I've done. And why I say 22 decades is that because it has not been contested so far.
Amazing.
And it is not from my phone book that these people have come in. These are all typical strangers.
I understand.
So I wanted to attempt for 75 telephone numbers. There are 73 people in the auditorium. Judges' numbers I cannot take. My own people numbers I cannot take, obviously. So I got 73 telephone numbers. So that's how the record is there, and that's still standing. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Thanks. So moving on, Anand, now tell me, what are some of the, and you did mention that we need to be trained at the dining table.
Exactly. Or at the school.
Or at the
school. Like any skill.
Correct.
Yeah.
But what are some of the memory challenges people face?
Ah. Okay. So basically, you know, I say that there is nothing called as a memory challenge. There's no memory challenge because memory is a process.
Correct.
The process cannot have a challenge. Mm-hmm. Process will have implementation issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, memory is a process and it cannot have a challenge. And I always say that, okay, people say, I forgot something. They say, okay, do you really forget? They say, yeah. So I just, you know, just to make them realize, I say, okay, try to forget something which you already know.
Mm.
It sounds like a joke. How can you forget something which you already know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I do understand people come back and say, okay, I went to that Rotary Club. I forgot the name. I went to the market. I forgot my umbrella there. I forgot to pick up my this thing. Or I forgot to, you know, link my Aadhaar card and PAN card. You know, all these kind of things do happen. Now, why is this happening? It is not actually forgetting. It's a wrong diagnosis. Mostly what is happening is they are failing to recall.
I see.
So those people who say, I forgot the person's name, or, you know, my mind went blank in the examination, the same very people will tell you 3 days later, then they're watching movie. Oh, Rakesh, how can I forget his name? The name would pop out.
Mm.
And people whose mind was blank in the examination go out and say, now I recall everything.
Mm.
So it is not that they've forgotten, they have failed to recall. Now the challenge comes in memory because of one major wrong ingraining which has happened in the mind. And that is, memory is automatic.
Okay.
Memory is not automatic, for God's sake, and for everybody's sake. It's not automatic. Now, what people come up and say, hey, listen, I'm listening it. I'm understanding it. I'm even nodding my head in acknowledgement. I'm even writing it. So I should remember. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Just because I'm listening something and understanding something, that will not give me a right to remember. Mm-hmm. I have to activate it because it's a process. The process has to set into motion. Now, one simple question which I always ask everybody and ask you also just for conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you forget names of people, if I may ask you?
I do.
You do. Okay. So I just want to ask you, reflect and think about it, and you can give the answer. How many times did you ever tell yourself before you meet a person, I want to remember this guy's name?
You know, it's very interesting. There are some names, and you're very right. When I consciously say that I must remember the name, I will remember it.
Exactly.
But more often than not, I don't. And I don't remember it. So
yeah.
I think you're right.
Because people don't make a conscious decision. They're always in this flow. This because I'm meeting this person, I remember.
Mm.
Now, memory is driven by either interest or necessity.
Mm. Okay.
You should have either one. Mm. It could be 200 other driving factors, mm. but interest and necessity form the basic one, either interest or necessity.
Right.
And that only, then only the things will work. And now, let's say I'm meeting you for the first time, and if I've not made a conscious decision that I have to remember your name,
mm.
you know what? I have not taken a decision yet.
I see.
If I have not taken a decision, how will I act on it?
Mm.
I will not act on it. And tomorrow I come back and tell you that, hey, you know what? Oh, this guy interviewed me. I don't remember his name. I didn't even decide to remember your name in the first place.
Mm.
As you rightly said, when I want to remember, somehow you will remember.
Right.
Not somehow, because you set the thing in motion.
Mm.
So when you want to remember, then things will fall in place and you will remember somehow.
Amazing.
And of course, if you have a science behind it, that becomes like flawless. Yeah.
Fascinating. So, you know, you also talk about focus and memory.
Yes.
And I know you just mentioned if I'm focusing on wanting to remember, I'll remember.
Right.
But tell me, how are focus and memory correlated, or how are they different?
Oh, great. Interesting. So let me tell you something very interesting about my journey. I started as a core memory expert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for conversation, I can say I'm a hardcore memory expert.
Okay. But now, what is core memory before you tell me further? Okay.
Yeah. So I've started as my specialization as remembering.
Mm.
I can remember names of people. I can remember playing cards. I can remember numbers. I can remember whatever you give me. I can remember.
Mm. Mm.
Now, what I mean by hardcore memory expert is that I remember anything which you give me. I don't care what you give me. And I can make people remember that. You know, it may sound very crazy,
mm-hmm.
but I have taught basic stuff. Okay. I've taught basic Korean to somebody without knowing a single Korean word.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught Spanish to somebody without knowing a single Spanish word. And I taught German to somebody without knowing a single German word. So this girl yesterday called me and she said that I wrote my exam very well. Thank you so much. And her teacher was amazed that how could you remember so much? Because like that's my hardcore skill where I can remember anything and help people to do it.
Wow.
But coming back to what happened is in my journey, I started as a memory guy and I was doing memory all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And later I realized like it's like you can say last one decade or so, something like that. Roughly about 10 years.
Mm.
So I've understood that memory is not that critical as focus.
Mm-hmm.
It was a realization for me that focus should come first.
Okay.
Even though my first love is memory now, I'll always say people should work on focus.
Mm.
Of course, I do a lot of memory work. Okay. Now, how it is useful is, now, again, coming back to focus, whether you're mixing coffee, performing a surgery, you know, talking to 1,000 people or writing a book, it doesn't matter. If you have focus, your result will be better.
Mm.
Similarly, when you're trying to remember also, if you have focus, you will have a better result.
Mm.
So let's say somebody 15 years back comes to me and say, I have a problem with remembering names of people.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given them a system where it's hardcore memory system. Okay. They'll just go apply, they'll get the result. Mm. Now today, if somebody comes and says, hey, Anant, I have got a problem in remembering names of people.
Mm.
So first thing, I will check it in the lens of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Or even focus in the first place.
Right.
So like, let's say, for example, you're talking to me and I'm too busy seeing whether my pin is okay, my tie is okay or not. Oh, my Amazon delivery, who will pick up if I'm sitting here? And you say something, I don't even recollect it. And I'm not even focused here in the first place.
Wow.
So when your focus is sorted, memory will fall in place. And how they are related is when you do any memory activity, indirectly, you will be working on focus.
Mm.
So that's how they are related. But if you can have a layer of focus first, that will make your memory job very easy.
Wow.
So that's why I made my flagship, as you know, I'm you know, I work on more on focus. Memory though, anyway, it will get improved. There's no big deal about it.
Fascinating. Yeah. And does memory tend to weaken as you get older?
Very interesting question, actually. There are a lot of people who say that and the people who experience that.
Okay.
As my age going higher, my memory is going down. And, you know, there's something which people don't dive deep into, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
It is given that with age, memory goes lower.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Jim Rohn always has this question, interesting question, who sold you this idea?
Mm-hmm.
Where did it even come from? With age, memory goes down. Okay, let's understand, as you grow older, your response rate goes down, your vision goes down, your eyes, your hearing capacity goes down, but that is not a handicap, right? Maybe the memory may go down slowly, but it's not a handicap, even if it does. I'm just saying, even if it does, it doesn't actually. I mean, my personal opinion. Now, coming back to why these people have these experiences. Oh, when I was 20 years, I was able to remember. Now I'm 45, can't remember anything. The reason is, one, have you done any activity which actually goes into, literally enhancing your memory? For most people, it is no. Oh, for my drawing skills, I did something. For my badminton skills, I did something. For my other skills, I did something. What have you done to improve memory? So that is one problem. People don't, when you don't work on something, you don't get the result. First thing. Second thing, people are coming from a very deep rooted belief, because, you know, we have been always told the jokes about absent-minded grandfather, forgetful professor who forgot to breathe, so he died. You know, this kind of absent. So these kind of things, and somebody who's put the specs on the head and looking at the entire house. These are the jokes which have been discussed all the time, and we see that happening also. And then what we perceive is, oh, when I become older, this is what I'll be. And that's a belief system. I bought this idea that when I get older, my memory will be lower. So now when I get older, my perception is this. Oh, hey, you know what? I'm old. I cannot remember. Because I cannot remember, I will not try. Because I don't try, I don't remember. And because I don't remember, I will fortify the belief that, see, I'm old.
Very interesting.
No one will say that. I could not remember because I did not try. They say could not remember because I'm old. That's the sad part.
Fascinating. So now my $1 million question to you. Why is it that women remember everything and men forget all the time?
Okay. There's no gender bias or anything in the answer. But let me tell you a very simple thing, which women generally are more emotional.
Okay.
They are, emotionally activated with even small details. Like, let's say people are quoting. And they say, oh, this is a new dress. Oh, I have purchased the sandals because I want to go to this meeting for this particular, event kind of thing. Men being men, they don't care anything. Like, there's a very interesting thing, how do women buy shampoo? 63% by the model, 23% by the shape of the bottle, 13% by smell. I don't know, a lot of details they go into. And how do men buy shampoo? It says shampoo.
Okay.
And they are very emotional. So what happens is, memory also works by emotion. When you are emotional, what happens is, there is connectedness. You are paying attention to it. Whereas there's no emotion. If I don't care something, I don't even pay attention to it. So the emotion leads to attention, that leads to, having that file or, that memory being strongly embedded. Whereas men just don't care. Most of the men. I mean, small things, people don't care. But whatever you care, you remember. But women tend to care everything.
I agree. I mean, I've often been asked by my wife, what did I wear, or what was the color of my dress when we got married 38 years ago? I said, I don't remember what I wore yesterday.
Yeah. And they'll take it like, oh my God, I remember. Why don't you remember? Because they're emotionally connected to it more.
Correct.
So well, that's how it is.
So Ranth, I've got time for a few more questions. I want to move to your role in the Malaysian National Memory Championship.
Oh, okay. So that is very interesting. So I was living in Malaysia, and I did a lot of work across Malaysia. So there's this something called as a Malaysian Mental Literacy Movement. And I have been very, very strongly associated with that. And on that, I went almost the length and breadth of Malaysia, leaving one state called Terengganu. Other than that, I've traveled everywhere and I've delivered talks. And that, because of some storm or something like that, weather was not good, so we couldn't go there. And I was in limelight, and people said, okay, there's this World Memory Championship I used to always talk about. They said, hey, can we not do something about like Malaysian Memory Championship? Yeah, I said, yeah, why not? Let's do it. So that's where I have formulated the entire stage for that and set it up. And, Tony Buzan actually does the World Memory Championships. Used to do it when he was alive. Now somebody else, of course, the event is going on. So I've started doing the Malaysian Memory Championship, and MMLM has invited Tony Buzan a couple of times to deliver talks. And that was the time I said, okay, Tony, look, this is what we're doing in Malaysia. How do you rate this? He said, this is amazing. This is very, very good. And he was contemplating to give everybody who is participating in the Malaysian Championship an international rating directly.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was in the formulation that finally, I don't know whether it has taken out there or not, because I've away from it for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. But I have been there for 7 years conducting the entire thing. I was the kind of chair for the thing. So I used to set up all the frame. I used mm-hmm. to set up the question papers. I used to set up how things, the rules. And every time we used to add some changes in that. And that was like a very interesting thing, which I've been there actually. Yeah.
Fascinating. Let me now move to talking about your book. How to become a top student and an instant memory improvement.
Yeah.
First, tell me, is this book available on Amazon?
Oh, not yet. No, this was actually published in Malaysia.
Okay.
And I've co-authored this with my brother, who is a Guinness record holder also. So both the books have been...
Also a memory guru.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yeah. And everybody in our family is a memory expert. But one thing I want to slightly... tell you something which you said is mm-hmm. that it doesn't run in genes.
Okay.
It is that in the family, but it doesn't run in genes. And why I'm saying this is because I want to make it very clear that memory is a pure skill. Skills cannot be transferred through the genes. Maybe mannerisms, maybe how I speak, maybe the hairstyle, maybe the color of the skin. But the skill would definitely not get transferred. For the skill, one need to work. Now, apparently what happens is if you see their doctors' families, everybody in the family tree, that you know, the mother side, father's side, everybody is a doctor.
Mm.
And it looks like, you know, it runs in the genes.
Mm.
But they are not born doctor. They have to go through the mill.
Mm.
Now, probably one advantage which they have is as kids, they're always seeing blood sample, this job, that thing, this medication, that stretcher, this hospital. So they are more comfortable with that. So they will go, ecosystem is there. So for me also, this ecosystem, so everybody in the house is that. So that's how it happens. It's not in the genes. It's a worked on skill.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And one more thing is why I also want to say this is it's not just I did records.
Mm-hmm.
I have trained people to become an Indian national champion.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can do it. It's just that you need to pick up that skill. Yeah.
Wonderful. So one last question for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you coach a lot of people in, you know, being able to develop and retain memory.
Right.
What is the process that you follow?
Okay. So it's like simple process, which I've created for myself. Step number, I'll work in four levels actually. Okay. So bottom of the pyramid is stop making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something which has never been told about. People do a lot of things, some right things, some wrong things. And you don't have to do anything. Just stop making mistakes. Then you will be able to go one step ahead. So very quickly to tell you, one mistake which people think is memory is input intensive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I go to somebody and say, I'm not able to remember this Newton's laws of motion. They'll say, read it 3 times, read it 5 times. So the more I read, the better I get.
Mm.
And you know, when for face value, we'll take it for a while. Okay, we'll agree that. Because okay, you pile it up and become concrete. So what happens in the examination, if you just look at it, they say, Anant, what are the Newton's laws of motion?
Mm.
They are checking my recall. I was practicing input.
Mm.
They're testing on output.
Mm.
So memory is an output intensive game. It is not an input intensive. Input is important. Output is critical. So right. If you just stop making that small mistake, you'll be one step ahead. The second layer I work on is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
For everything in life, you have to have a mindset. If you want to drive, you want to have a mindset. You want to become a chef, you have to have a mindset. The sum total thinking process of how you relate to with that particular topic and a lot of other things.
Mm.
So I teach that mindset, which is like an ecosystem for building up.
Okay.
All right. The third thing is my favorite and my core, my contribution. I feel very happy about that is the how-to strategies.
Okay.
How to focus, how to remember, how to bring back your focus, how to remember difficult things, how to remember language, how to focus in unfavorable situations and a whole lot of how-to strategies.
Mm.
So that's the third layer. And the top of the pyramid is hacks and shortcuts.
Okay.
And unfortunately, what people do is they want hack first. Can I get a hack for remembering names? Can I get this for remembering names? Shortcut for that? And my personal opinion is hacks and shortcuts can only be used by thorough professionals.
Mm.
Unless you get the soul of something, you're not qualified to use a hack.
Mm.
So when you build it up that way, probably you don't need a hack.
Mm.
And if you want, you can actually build up hack by yourself.
Wonderful.
So this is how the pyramid which I work on from the bottom.
Fascinating. Fascinating. And on a lighter note, right at the end, the fact that you remember cards so well,
Have
you ever gone to casinos to try your luck out?
Me and my brother has went out, but no, it's a very scary thing. Should not do it. So it's called counting cards. And interestingly, Dominic O'Brien, who was one of the world champions earlier, so he's banned from worldwide casinos because he just goes and count cards and make money. And there are a lot of people who can remember, especially the blackjack. You can remember how many pictures, how many dot cards, how many picture cards, and you can make money. So, but then it is one is if they get you, you'll be thrown out. So my brother only tried one time and then we were scared and we left. Because we know that. And later on when we went into the casino, just for fun to see there, now that system has, now that leverage has been reduced because earlier we used to know how many decks of cards are there. Now randomly there are 20 decks and you say, okay, there's a red card there. Now that will be put by a random person on the table. So you would never know how many cards, how many decks. So you can't do much of card counting there. Right. But that's a fun part. But in fact, Dominic O'Brien has written a book, How to Win at Blackjack Every Time.
Okay, fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah. Anand, on that note, thank you so much. It has been such a fascinating conversation with you. You know, I just love what you told me about how if I tell myself, I will remember and I will make sure I will start telling myself that I need to remember. Yeah. Thank you for starting off on such a high, which says double the result, half the effort, half the time. So thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Same here. Thank you. Thank you very much and have a wonderful time.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.